Prime ministers
and presidents
may come and go, but the certainty of exemplary entertainment on the Midweek Drive
and the Midweek Drive Morning Edition
remains.
Stay awake, don't rest your head. Don't lie down upon your bed. While the moon drifts in the skies, stay awake, don't close your eyes. Though the world is fast asleep,
misanthropic, tasteless, vulgar, gratuitous, and misguided. I'll throw in offensive. Six words I'll be putting to one of the three movies we'll be referring to today, as we actually welcome Richard Fitzwilliams and Robin Pierce to work through that. I know, Richard, you've been mused. Which one could I possibly actually feel so negative to that I've struggled to give it a 4 out of 10. Misanthropic, tasteless, vulgar, gratuitous, misguided, and offensive. I don't know, where would you like to start off our sequence today with?
Well, you know, Alex, I, knowing you as I do over the years, and indeed, I mean, with your portrait just having been taken down from the Lincoln University Common Room, for example, I mean, how do you feel about that? No, I believe that you just might be referring to Rare Beasts.
I think you would be absolutely right in terms of that, Richard, because if ever there was a case of wishing, having buyer regret and realizing that actually one should never have actually spent 10 English pounds for this particular experiment in Billy Piper's ego, then that probably is the best way forward. Any movie that
I have to correct you and clash with you here with reference to Billy Piper's ego, because, I mean, frankly, it was this film that introduced me really to Billy Piper, at least should I say the side of Billy Piper that wasn't, as you know, she was a singer, and it was that made her famous. But tell us, Alex, just to the Billy Piper quiz, what you know about her performance in a play called Yerma some 4.5 years ago or so.
I'm not talking about that particular product. I'm not talking about her fantastic role as Doctor Who's companion for the rebooted series in 2005-2006. I'm just pointing out this movie is misguided, this movie is misanthropic, this is a woke fantasist's dream, and it's basically a dreadful piece of somebody who actually looked at New Wave from the French routine, learnt nothing from the French routine, put this out there, and frankly, I don't think anybody should actually go and see it at all.
On the contrary, I disagree with you. I think that it was a rather provocative movie. I think it was an imaginative one, and I rather enjoyed it.
You like actually having somebody effectively reveal their innermost secrets to you whilst actually metaphysically actually showing you their rear end. I'm sorry,
I had a feeling. I had a feeling when I saw this film, and knowing how you picked up on certain aspects of certain movies, that you just might bring that seen up, and indeed, I thought you would bring it up initially or very near the beginning.
Look,
of that.
Piper brings up everything she vomits on screen over all of us, over the audience.
It's precisely what you've done. Now, of course, the jokey dialogue on the or preview dialogue on this is Mandy, a career-driven single mother, falls in love with the charming man called Pete. Well, of course, this is absolute nonsense. She's not career-driven. She's a picture of misery. And as for Pete, I mean, he is literally a sexist abomination. He's obsessively religious, and also he's, I would say, a nerd with extremely bad manners. That when we see them date initially, they are total opposites. And in real life, I cannot believe that they would have any contact with each other after a disastrous first meeting. But the whole idea of this, which is billed, Alex, as an anti-rom-com, is in point of fact that they do, and the point overall that it's making is so often opposites do, because there's no alternative. They do hitch up. And indeed, it's very difficult for them to, well, frequently they live their whole lives in the most dire circumstances simply because of initial mistakes, because, in fact, they're both all but down and out when it comes to their personal life. And indeed, this can happen. So Billy Piper, who, as I say, has for years the won an Olivia Award, which is something I had no idea. She has got here with her directorial debut, I thought, some rather interesting work, because she plays Mandy. She endures working in a truly dreadful television company, some amusing scenes there, and she finds life pretty grim. Her child is rather challenging. Larch, played by Toby Wolf. She lives with her own mother and a cervic Marion, played by Kerry Fox. Her dad is a picture of a walking catastrophe. Vic, I find it rather difficult to believe that such people exist, but I guess they do. David Thewlis does it rather well. And she goes on this date, and subsequently she and Pete fall for each other. And, well, would it happen? I do wonder. Has it happened in real life? It most certainly has. So Billy Piper directs and writes and stars in this, and Pete, played by Leo Bill, is an almost unbelievable character and caricature, but nonetheless, I thought it was very well acted. And I do agree, Alex, some of the dialogue does appear to be somewhat strong and might indeed offend some viewers. But on the other hand, it's part of a story which is supposed to be a bit in your face. And in that context, whereas the characters are certainly not endearing, it's visually quite imaginative at times. I mean, I thought that this was a movie that was provocative as it was intended to be, and I didn't, and perhaps sometimes gratuitously so, but nonetheless, it is a bit in your face. But on the other hand, it does pose a question where a lot of people have been trapped in precisely the way these two characters are, without actually giving spoilers as to the way it ends. And I rather enjoyed the film.
I can only put it down to your South African background. I would stand, if you want an acronym, to banal, excretory, asinine, substandard trash. And it's a great shame that Billy Piper is actually made. I mean, good directorial shots, yes, some nice music. It's a 4 out of 10 for me. Natasha Armstrong, have you seen Rare Beasts?
Hello. No, I haven't yet. We've just opened up this week, so the cinemas are now open, and so, I'm only just...
Don't spend £10 online for it, which I did. I regret it bitterly. A horrendous decision.
But no, it sounds interesting. It definitely sounds like something that's now becoming increasingly popular in the market. We're starting to see a lot more of these sort of anti-rom-coms coming along. It will be interesting to see where they're going to go with it more in the future. Are they going to get more extreme? I've seen some of them try to bring in some sort of musical elements to have the anti-rom-com musical elements to them. So it'll be interesting to see where this trajectory is going.
Yeah, if you want to be inspired, do not go and see this movie. I can't state it strongly enough. It is literally in the pits with probably... I can't even think of a whole thing.
Alex, you're lost for your metaphor. It's so awful that you can't...
It's offensive, Richard. And I think the young actor has got cause to actually sue the actual cast for being exposed to far too much vulgar language at far too young an age. Sebastian, rare beast.
No, I don't think I feel as strongly as you do about it, but I wasn't. I think, yeah, it's sort of middling, really. It's an interesting direction. I definitely didn't expect Billy Piper's directorial debut to be something like this. Like, it's quite full on in, as not a black comedy, but definitely, yeah, like post Fleabag, anti rom com. It's okay. I'm sure, like, if you find that sort of thing funny, people will probably enjoy it. But for me, as soon as it finished, I stopped thinking about it.
Yeah, and I think that probably is it. Disposable, misanthropic trash. Robin, are you going to check this out? I mean, after all, she is Christopher Eccleston's partner from Doctor Who, and indeed David Tennant's, of course, Rose Tyler.
For the benefit of Natasha and Sebastian, and also myself, can you run me through that list that you used to describe this film at the top of the show? Misanthropic, misguided...
tasteless, what vulgar, it? Gratuitous and defensive.
See, you had my heart beating there, because I actually thought, this is the best build-up you have ever given me on a show. But sadly, you were talking about something else. And I think I'll be giving this one a pass. I am interested that it's Billy Piper's directorial debut, but I think that I can't see me undertaking the two-hour round trip to a cinema to see something that I'm not going to be happy with. I mean, I go to the cinema to be entertained, uplifted, not to be, you know, just... bored, really. Sorry.
It's a bad movie. And indeed, many people actually say it's a bad movie. But anyway, let's move on to something which actually makes lots of interesting points. It's available on Netflix, and they axe the pants quite literally off. I mean, such a shame as well. Curry Fox, David Threlfall, Billy Piper, these are good actors. They're put together in this particular script, which is execrable. And indeed, from the moment they start tapping and using sort of various neuro-linguistic programming systems right the way through the system to the end, I shall say no more, apart from the fact that...
Alex, it's a very...
Wake up, Richard, wake up.
Somebody,
Alex,
did you just say that somebody axes somebody's pants off?
Alex, I have to say that it's been well worth bringing up this movie just to hear your diatribe. It was highly enjoyable.
Well, there we are, particularly in a world in which we're still actually recovering from the shock of Christian Eriksen. Thankfully, it looks as though he could be okay. A Danish footballer collapsed with a heart attack. The BBC obviously had to insist on actually screening it because that's what they like to do. Anyway, Robin, over to you.
Well, my movie this week, it's a sign of the times, folks. I actually got all thrilled and excited that I was seeing a film on opening day on Netflix. This is what my life has become. The film was Awake, and it's a hybrid of at least two sci-fi tropes that we are well used to seeing. I'm not sure that we've ever had these two brought together before. The idea is good, but sadly, the execution overall is just a little bit, well, let me say, pedestrian. The film is Awake, a 2021 science fiction action film directed by Mark Rasso from a screenplay he wrote alongside, presumably, family member Joseph Rasso, starring Gina Rodriguez. Now, the film centers on former US Army medic and recovering drug addict Jill Adams, played by Gina Rodriguez, who has lost custody of her two children, a teenage male, a lot younger female, and she's about to go and visit them. But on the way to visit them, we find out that as part of a recovery, she is working security at a college where she steals drugs to sell to make extra money. So she's in no danger of ever winning Mother of the Year. While she's driving her kids in the family car, having just picked them up for a visit, the unexplained happens. A worldwide pulse, which knocks out all machinery. Now, we don't know this at the time because we have a family clearly dysfunctionally interacting in a car when all of a sudden they are blindsided by another vehicle, which comes as a shock. Furthermore, it's the fact that the camera is in the car as the car descends into a lake, which they're driving right next to. It's all very, very dramatic. And we find out that the electromagnetic shock has taken out all machinery. And as the film proceeds, it has also robbed the human race of its ability to sleep. Now, who's done this? Where the pulse came from? Why it's here, we don't know. And the mystery actually is best kept here because we don't need that kind of explanation. So the young daughter is somehow able to sleep when other people can't. This presents both a possible solution as to curing the worldwide malady, but also presents its own problem. As predictably, the human race turns upon itself, people go feral, and the local church, for example, want to sacrifice the young girl as to appease God. The scientists want to get hold of her to find out why she can sleep when nobody else can. And there's a quest. There always has to be a quest in these kind of films. There always has to be somewhere that they're going. So they're trying to get the young girl across the country to a medical facility where the chief psychiatrist is an ex-commander of Jill Adams's, who has specialized in sleep deprivation torture, to find out, can we find a cure? But during the quest, of course, as nobody can sleep, even coma victims are now awake, without sleep, you will slowly go insane. You've only got a matter of days, and each day is somewhat worse than the one before. People are succumbing to hallucinations. People are wantonly murdering each other. So the chase is afoot, as Sherlock Holmes would say. And will they reach the facility? Is there a solution? Well, you're just going to have to watch and see. It's a good 96-minute film, but it could have been so much better. I would give this 7 out of 10.
And I will equal that 7 because I feel that although there are slight flaws there, everything that Rare Beast actually fails in miserably, actually Awake actually manages to cope with. I can only imagine that Ms. Piper presumably was suffering from sleeplessness when she actually decided to actually work through that. Having said that, yeah, okay, her direction's fine. Rare Beast, I say 4, and I'm pushing it to get 4. Awake, certainly 7. Sebastian, have you been awake or have you woke as yet?
I haven't seen this one, but as Robin was explaining it, the whole concept of humankind not being able to sleep did sound kind of a fun idea. So I think I will check it out. I think of the two between Rare Beasts and this, I think I regret watching Rare Beasts.
Oh, you and me both, Sebastian. We connect on that.
I made the wrong choice, I think.
Natasha, what about yourself? Obviously, in the joyous land of Australia, who, of course, love their lockdown, certainly in Melbourne, although you're coming out of it, I believe. Is that so? Are you sort of scheduled to come out of it shortly? I mean, just as Britain
was.
Yeah,
we came out of it on Friday, so I was at the cinema today for the first time since lockdown, so I was very happy. I think This is one that I might give a miss, having watched the trailer. I like the concept of sort of, I like the sort of what if scenario, you know, what happens if nobody can sleep? It's an interesting concept to toy with. I wasn't sure how well it would be executed watching the trailer. It looked very much like it was using stereotypes and tropes that had been done before. And having just heard Robin explain it and saying that the execution could be better confirming that, I'm not sure. Yeah, this is one that's going to tempt me.
I mean, it does have its moments, but certainly there's so much that David Threlfall, Billy Piper, and the actor Lovies, who are responsible for Rebbies, could actually learn from the way in which this is actually put together that I think it would be well worth going for that. By the way, Richard, what would you score Rare Beasts? I mean, what are you kind of giving it in the end?
Don't worry, Alex. I hadn't forgotten that you hadn't asked me. You've been so outraged. Indeed, I think Rare Beasts is going to appear in future programs because it made such an impression on you. I thought Rare Beasts, as I say, it's thoroughly improbable, but I thought it was making an interesting point, and I thought it was quirky. And I do think that some of the scenes, the way that was handled, I think that Piper scored quite well. I want you, Alex, to tell me something before I answer you. What do you think the score for Rare Beasts is on Rotten Tomatoes?
It's about 30%, 32%, I checked it. And again, it's...
No. I rely on you to misrepresent Rotten Tomatoes. Is that you didn't check it? It's 59%.
Well, it was 32% when I looked at it last. So obviously, you've been typing up a lot of things there, Richard.
No. I've got 59% here.
Does it matter, Richard? It's a vanity.
I would go. I think I'd go to 6, perhaps even 7. I thought it was enjoyably unusual. And I think that despite flaws, yes, I think 6.5, how about that? We'll settle with that. I mean, because I know that it's made such an impression on you that, you know, you're going to be going on about Rare Beasts and Billy, you'll be seeing Billy Piper on stage if you have a chance after it, yes?
No. So let's move on to page 8, which is a movie which comes back to Netflix after a fair gap. Of course, Bill Nighy in full force here, together with some excellent performances from Alice Krieg and indeed Michael Gambon, of course, who's part of this. This gets an 8 out of 10 for me straight away, and I think it worked well. It kind of has everything, and it's certainly 100% more important than that other movie, which I now refuse to talk about at all because of lines we've already gone through. Richard, take us through page 8, please.
Well, page 8, it was actually a 2011 movie, and I'm rather ashamed to confess it was one of a trilogy, to confess that I hadn't heard of it for some reason. It was directed and written by David Hare, and I mean, he is one of our top dramatists. I mean, some of his plays, Plenty, Amy's View, Skyfall, absolutely brilliant. I've seen them on stage and indeed in some cases a couple of versions of them. And Hare's dialogue is what absolutely holds this to a pretty high standard, because when you have first-class dialogue like this, it really, really makes a difference. And also the fact that the spy genre, I mean, any movies dealing with MI5, with spying and so forth, with duplicitous and incestuous organizations, and also unquestionably dishonesty from the very top of politics, all of these people, the numbers of times that this has been explored, I mean, innumerable, but it's done here very, very well. And what intrigued me particularly was Bill Nighy's performance, because in some of the spy series, I mean, Tinker Tailor's, Miley's People, it's very, very interesting to watch the nuanced performances of some of the individuals involved. Alec Guinness was famous, and I thought absolutely brilliant as Smiley. I liked Gary Oldman, though the film Tinker Tailor had a lot of flaws. But in this case, we've got Johnny Warwicker, played by Bill Nighy, a long-serving MI5 officer, his best friend and superior, Benedict Barron, who's also stolen. Johnny walked away. His wife is, in fact, the head of MI5. He summons him to a meeting with the Home Secretary, Anthea Catchside, paid by the delicious, delectable Saskia Reeves, and the also at the meeting, MI5 agent Jill Tankard, played by Judy Davis, with whom Johnny is having an affair. And this highlights a potentially explosive report where it is has been realised by the Prime Minister, Alex Beasley, played by Ray Fiennes, that he has a knowledge of secret overseas prisons where suspects are being tortured by the American authorities, and intelligence is not being shared, and British lives are potentially at risk. So also, and I mean this does stretch credibility perhaps slightly, Johnny begins spending time with his neighbour and Nancy Pierpan, played by Rachel Weisz. Note the top-rate cast. I mean, this really is wonderful from this point of view. A Syrian-born political activist whose brother was killed by the Israeli military, but a report into it has been suppressed. And their love of modern art of jazz is one thing, but Johnny becomes very suspicious as to precisely what she's at. And indeed, there are various layers here of duplicity and what is actually going on with reference to the Prime Minister, with reference to the fact that his boss, Benedict, has a sudden heart attack. Also, his estrangement with his daughter, who is involved with protest art. What is clever about this movie, what is superb, firstly, I mentioned the script. It's a really, really first-class, beautifully acted. I thought the Oxbridge connection and the incestuous nature, not only of who befriended who, but also who's sleeping with who. It's been looked at before, but it's taut, it's tense, it's got polished dialogue, visually it holds you. It continues if you're interested in following it. And I mean, I really would recommend it. It's got an absolutely top-rate cast, but most particularly, and I'm glad you've shown him, Bill, I thought was absolute perfection in the role of Warwicka, and I do love the almost deadpan delivery, and you can try and make out work out what's going on in his mind. As I say, this theme and has anti-American. Americanism, which is, and also constantly he deals with the issue of class. It's a fascinating, it's well acted, it's well written, and it's well worth seeing. And it's interesting that it's reappeared on Netflix as one of those which you can see.
Masterpieces is the official line that they use.
8 out of 10, definitely, I'd go to that. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
So the reason it doesn't get a 10 for me and gets an 8 out of 10 is because actually, although you commented on the dialogue, I felt it takes a little bit of time to get it away from the staging and the staginess and the kind of slightly, the slight tendency that Hare occasionally has to be a little bit, ooh, look at me, aren't I clever? But other than that, very good.
Yes, I would say yes.
Sebastian.
This isn't one I've seen, and I wasn't familiar with it until it came up this week. But I think after Richard's pretty glowing review, it's definitely something I'll look into and possibly check out if I fancy something of that nature, I guess.
At least it actually isn't as misanthropic or negative as that other movie, which again we refuse to mention for reasons which are just too manifold to mention. Natasha, as somebody who I think has an insight or is always fascinated by the inner machinations of government and so on, and the organisations and of life and times, will you be seeing Rachel Weisz, Bill Nighy and company in Page 8?
Oh, those morning discussions, Alex. I'm going to hold my hands up and say that Richard's actually brought this one back for me, because I watched the trailer and I thought, it's okay, but it's forgettable. But actually hearing him talk about it now definitely sounds like something I would be into. I mean, I love Bill Nighy, so, and you said he shines in it, so definitely something for me, I think. Oh.
Just out of interest, what was the movie you went to see this week, by the way, Natasha?
In the Heights, I give it an 8.
I'm longing to see it. I haven't.
It's really good. I just wish that the music had been a little bit stronger. It's not quite, it didn't quite go to the Hamilton level for me, but I'll be interested to hear what you think.
And what was the feeling like in the cinema that you went to? Were there many people there? Was it a case of, well, we're Australians, all's well with the world?
We're open, but we're opening up our restrictions very slowly. All of our indoor facilities, if they are open, they're at 25% maximum capacity. Very much sort of a one group per row kind of thing going on at the cinema now. Hopefully, at the end of the week, if we continue to see kind of one or no cases, we're going to hopefully see those restrictions lifting a little bit more. So then we're going to get back to maybe the situation we were 2-3 weeks ago, where you could have maybe 60-75% of people going back to the cinema again. But obviously masks when you're in there.
Of course. I mean, clearly you need to have the ultimate immunity, which is simply be one of the G7 entourage, in which case you're immune from any kind of virus whatsoever, including actually global warming, it would seem, because you can jet around like nobody's business. But in the words of Her Majesty, Robin, at least try and look as though you're having fun.
I was going to ask Richard about this. You put a thing on Facebook yesterday that the Her Majesty clearly enjoyed Trooping the Colour, and there was a photograph of her, and she looked like she was having the worst time ever.
Because she's not meant to have fun, then.
Well, she looked, and I think, you know, there was a poignancy to the occasion. There's no doubt at all. I mean, Prince Philip, being with her for obvious reasons, it's well worth remembering that he had over 20 years as Colonel of the Welsh Guards and over 40 as Colonel of the Grenadier Guards. The enjoyment was, in fact, when the Red Arrows swooped overhead and she looked, I thought, as if she was pleased, and also she was tapping her foot. I mean, there have been...
Probably those fretting about having to deal with a couple of Americans, with Joe and his missus, basically, who've got to actually sort of go and visit her. Yet another one of those dreadful colonial presidents that's sort of coming along board. And let's face it, Joe is not corpus mentis today, is it, in any way, shape or form? So who knows what we're having?
I think, it's an interesting point, because, I mean, I think that the Queen would have been perhaps a bit tired, because remember, she'd been to Cornwall the previous day. Yes, I mean, by enjoyed, I meant, I thought that it was a terrific show, far larger than last year. And I think that...
Maybe she just actually had a preview of Rare Beasts and that's what put her in the mood. And
a question for you, and you've mentioned the fatigue. I mean, yes, of course she was in Cornwall the day before, and she's still undertaking an incredible amount of royal duties, all of which take a toll. She is recently widowed, which of course takes a toll. She's had to deal with the errant other members of the family, which shall not be mentioned. Given the fact that she is now in her mid-90s, I put the question to you, Richard, has she not finally earned a rest and just give it up to Charles or somebody else?
No, because that's the worst thing that could happen, Robin. You can't have that Chuck guy in charge. It'd be a nightmare. Well,
I was just thinking, because surely, I mean, she's in her 90s. We want her around for the platinum celebrations. You know, when you're in your 90s, your days are numbered. We need to make sure that she actually gets there. Stop running her up and down the country.
Robin, there's a Danish footballer who's 28 years of age who could have actually gone yesterday. Life, time, it's an irrelevancy. When your number's up, your number is up.
Well, I'm not asking the Queen to play football, for goodness sakes.
I think it's a note, Robert. I think it's an important point because a lot of people over the recent years, because as you say, she's 95, I mean, have been asking this question. The answer, though, appears, given her health at the moment being very good. Remember, she cut that cake with such alacrity at the G7 with the sword. She refused a knife. She seemed to be enjoying it there. I can only tell you what she undoubtedly thinks, and that is at the age of 21, she made the oath to serve her whole life, whether it was long or short. Now, she's deeply religious, and she takes this literally, and in various jubilees, she's reiterated this vow, and there is no question, at the moment anyway, that she sees any form, and I'm let me be specific here, any form of retirement, and that involves stepping back. It doesn't, of course, long-haul flights have been out of the question for some time, and her schedule has been altered and amended to take account of advanced years, but it is absolutely unique. It is quite extraordinary, the fact that she believes, so long as she's able physically to do what she's clearly is able to do, and also the fact that I think for the country, as far as the country's concerned, Charles and Alex, who takes a somewhat acerbic view of this, I know, but I mean, I think Charles would be a great deal more controversial.
It'd be a disaster, just, Richard. It would end everything else. We might as well hand over to Boris and Empress Carrie now. That's all the time we've actually got, folks. Robin, would you be seeing Page 8? Is it one of those movies which you might think, I'll check that one out?
I am considering checking that one out. I hadn't heard of it, but I'm intrigued, and I do like that kind of film.
Thankfully, I will be going back
to the cinema this coming week, tomorrow, as a matter of fact, to check out The Hitman's Bodyguard's Wife, which I'll check out next week.
And may I just suggest The Father for everybody, which is now in cinemas for next week.
Well, we know you like Anthony Hopkins giving a fairly weak performance there, which amazingly actually got some kind of Academy Award.
Alex, that is an absolutely outrageous way to end. I mean, I see war looming.
Only in a kind of Odin Asgard way, but that's Loki in another series. Natasha Armstrong, Sebastian Ban, Robin Pierce and Richard Fitzwilliams, our movie reviewing team, of course. Keep on keeping on and keep watching the movies.
Said these words out loud, I'm happy living on a cloud. Got my mind, got my soul, got my shoulders, got my toes. Watch the garden grow. Woke up yesterday feeling okay. Ever said these things in threes, I'm happy, I'm alive, living in my tree. Got the sun, got the clouds, got the breeze, got the air I breathe. Woke up yesterday, feeling okay. Ever said these things to yourself, I'm okay, being myself. Got some time, got my health, got my trousers, got my bed.